the kitchen of intrigue. Kurt Jackson and Chris Kellel are cooking up a batch of mystery soup.
Each episode serves a new blend of tips, tactics, trends, and tales from the business and design sides of the escape room world.
So grab your spoon, because this episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
Mystery Soup. Thank you for joining us again here on Mystery Soup. I am one of your adorable co-hosts, Chris. Other slightly less adorable co-host over there is Kurt. And we're back with another exciting interview this week, talking with Shad Copping. Did I say that right?
You actually are the first person to ever get my last name correct.
Nice.
There's a good chance Kurt wrote it down phonetically instead of how it's actually spelled, too. So
no, you got it. That always helps. That's awesome. Good.
But he is one of the game masters at Escape Ventures in Orlando, correct?
Actually, Port Charlotte, second location.
Oh, we're excited to talk to Shad today and just find out more about him. Shad, welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself first before we get started.
Thank you guys for having me on the show. So yeah, I've been a game master for probably about 8 years now. Coming from California for about 6 years, I was living over there. A game master at a place called The Unlockables, and grew to a general manager position and went from there, and then unfortunately left the industry for a bit. And then now I'm back working at the Escape Ventures in Port Charlotte, and I'm just couldn't be more grateful.
That's awesome. You may have seen Shad's name if you are in the Escape Room Enthusiast group or the SoCal group, because he is always posting in there, always commenting, I should say. I feel like everybody knows who you are, Shad. Your name pops up and, oh, Shad, and people comment on your comment, but it's a lot of fun. You could tell that you are really a fan, and you're a fan of the industry, not just rooms, but in the community of escape rooms and the people who are enthusiasts. And that's awesome to see. So we're happy to have you on. This is going to be a fun conversation.
Definitely. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. We like talking escape rooms. So how did you get into escape rooms? Why, Kurt says you're this big fan. Why are you such a fan? What got you into it?
Actually, my first escape room I did back in like 2015. And it was in Budapest.
Oh,
it was insane. It was probably like one of the first ones I've ever seen just on the internet too, because I didn't know anything about them. And after doing some research, we befriended the Hilton ambassador with my family. There's just this random guy. And then we played this amazing escape room, and that kind of got me hooked. The board game Clue is definitely what started my craze for adventure, I would say. Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's awesome. Budapest is just a little bit east of Port Charlotte, right?
Yeah, just 5,000 miles down that way.
It's a little bit.
Shad, what are some of your favorites? Your favorite escape rooms?
So
I know it's hard to choose, but
it was very hard making a list. I actually have a top 10 list on Morty. Hashtag Morty. Love them.
Yep.
I love them.
Shout out.
Horrible name, though. I'm always like, what is the name of that escape room app? I'm like, I got to put my room in. And I don't know. Escape room something. Like,
the story behind it, though, is cute. In fact, we're going to have Andy on in a couple episodes. And you can tell him how much you don't
I'll
like
let him
name.
Know. He should have called. Just to add the word escape in there somewhere. So when I search for the app on my phone, I remember what it's called.
Fair enough. That's like, fair.
You're going to be like, is this Rick and Morty? What is the logic of this?
It's funny because when I tell people about the Morty app, I always go like Rick and Morty, right? Because they're like, Morty? How do you spell that? All right, Shad, what's your top 10? Let's hear it.
Alrighty. My number one is Pins and Needles at the Exit Games in Clearwater.
It's a good one.
Hands down, just amazing formula of what they do.
I'm just going to stop you right there because Chris and I played Servants of Slight together. And I have played Pins and Needles. Be honest, I'm a fan of Servants of Slight a little bit more. Pins and Needles was a little intense. I love Servants of Slight, but what a great company.
Yeah, they're so great. I even have a tattoo actually for both of their games.
What?
Yeah, for I have a spade for pins and the Eye of Servants.
That is awesome.
So it looks like I'm a cult member of something, and people are always like, what is that? Like, fraternity or something? I'm like, no, it's escape room.
That's awesome.
Did you get it at Pins and Needles? Do they do tattooing there as well? I mean,
so I believe someone did hire a tattoo artist when I went with my group. We wanted to have a tattoo artist present in the game. It just didn't work out. So when I went back to California, I got it tatted immediately.
Wow. Awesome. Nice. And none from Escape Ventures? No tattoos from...
You know, I'm already wearing my sweatshirt. You
there
know,
you go. Got my there shirts.
I'm really on my body. There you go.
That's fair. All right. What's number two?
All right. Number two is Ministry of Peculiarities, Hope's End. This is in Azusa, California. And it is the most immersive just walking in through the door. Like, it starts right there.
Let me ask you, while you were waiting outside, did somebody come out, say something, and go back in and lock the door?
Yes.
Okay, listen. We did the game, too. The group before us had broken something in the room, so we had to wait a little extra time. No problem. Person came out, and he did his little thing, and we were so confused because he was looking. I don't want to spoil anything, but he was looking for something, and so our focus was on looking for something, and then... we thought maybe we need to learn how to get into the place itself. We end up going into the massage parlor next door thinking that's how we get in. And the ladies are, what are you doing? We're like, we're trying to get into the escape room. They're like, no.
Sneaking in their back rooms. Don't worry about us. We're just playing.
Like in Arizona, you go through a ice cream shop to get into the. So we thought it was something like that. And so we got in there and... it was just so confusing at first for us, but it's such a fan favorite, that room. Everybody really loves that room. So yeah, I can see why it's on your list.
Well, you could say your experience was more memorable just from the beginning.
It was more memorable. It was memorable. That's for sure. All right. So number three,
I'm going to go with Servants of Slight.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Such that's a good one.
Games.
I love it.
And four.
Lost Games, Dr. Playtime Asylum. This is in Vegas.
Okay. Never played that.
That one is very unique based off having a separate loading area for guests. They do this crazy transition of having an immersive asylum atmosphere. You feel like you're actually in a mental institution with a bunch of actors just wandering around the facility.
Oh, wow.
And then we're running for our life and they throw you in the room and it just starts. It's insane.
Wow. Was it expensive?
It was about reasonable price.
Really? I feel like if you're paying all these actors, then it's got to drive up the price a little bit. But yeah, we haven't made it out to Vegas, but I know there's a lot of good rooms and some not so good rooms out there. So
there's some naughty ones over there too.
Oh, I'm sure. Have you been to Polly's here in Florida?
No, but I've been recommended that one many times.
Yeah, yeah, that's a wild ride. Number five.
Number five, I have Breaking Point. It's called Head Case in Rancho Cucamonga, California.
That's a good one. Yeah, it's such a good one. We played Whitmore Estate as well while we were there, and I love that. It's such a Disney feel, the whole 100%. Haunted Mansion. Yeah, I love that game. Number six.
Number six, Crossroads, Weeping Witch.
Oh, one of my favorites. So good. Who'd you have for a game master? Do you remember?
I do not remember our game master's name, but we had such a funny time. There's a lot of funny elements, and people go in thinking it's going to be this horror scary room, but it's actually very cinematic and very fun and funny.
Yes, and the puzzles are really good, too. Which you're not really expecting for kind of a, I guess, what you would think would be a horror game. Chris will not do horror. He won't do scary at all.
I'll be the one weeping.
He's just
That'd be the problem.
It'd be weeping Chris.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's the chicken in Quest Room?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's the chicken.
Every time. I will wear that badge boldly.
Chad, did you do Hex as well?
I unfortunately was not able to do Hex, but I did play Funhouse.
How was that? I didn't play that one.
Funhouse is very fun. It's their first game, and I thought it was one of the best circus meets magician, fortune teller.
Oh, cool.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, I loved it.
I would have liked that. Did you make it, I don't know when you came over to Florida, but did you make it to their axe throwing place?
No, unfortunately, it just finished getting built when I was already over here in Florida.
Okay, cool. Yeah, such a good game. I love that game. All right, number seven.
The Basement Courtyard. Oof.
Apparently Kurt does not agree with that. Sorry, Chad, you're going to have to change it. Kurt says no.
No. I can see why that is a favorite. There's a live actor in there. And she was so good. It was only two of us. We had a hard time with that game. But the set, like, when you go out into the, you're like, oh, wow, this is amazing with kind of that whole setup. And then you had to, there's that crawling, right?
There's a,
it's very tight.
Slight spoiler.
Yeah, it is a slight spoiler. It's very tight, that crawl space.
I volunteered right away. I'm a short guy.
I can see you. This skinny little guy going through, no problem. But you got dirty, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. That's what I loved about it. It definitely defied a lot more normal things in escape rooms.
It's
like
true.
Getting wet, getting dirty, and then immersive with an actor as well, too.
Have you played all their rooms, or?
I have played all of them at that location in Sylmar. The Vegas ones I have not played at.
I didn't know they had Vegas.
Yeah, they have two games over there.
One of my favorite kind of live actor things was in The Study, where the actor is a puzzle. We just had so much fun with that. And then I like their elevator one a lot, too.
Yeah, Elevator Chef's really good, too.
Yeah. All right, number eight.
Number eight, Doldrick's Crazy Train, Orlando, Florida.
So that one just got on your top 10 list, huh?
Mm-hmm. That one's very recently updated on there. I loved it.
Did you say Chris?
I said I was a crazy
train. You would love this room, Chris. It's very cartoony and fun and perfect for two people.
Didn't we do Doldricks when I was down there?
We did not. You didn't. We went Dare to Escape, but we didn't do Doldricks while you were down here.
I thought we did Doldricks.
So
the Blockbuster room.
That's Dare to Escape.
Yeah.
That's Dare to Escape. Okay.
So no, this Crazy Train, my favorite at Doldricks for sure. It was so much fun, so high tech. And you just like, you were looking everywhere. You wanted to take it all in.
It's a good linear room too.
Yeah. It's
true. Being linear, it was fun.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a good pick. Number nine.
Mind Trap 40 Thieves.
Yep. The best intro of any game I've done. Where they just like, you need to sit down, don't get up. And that intro was so fun. Great game. What'd you like most about that game?
I would say the appeal to senses. So you're visually getting something, the smells, just the atmosphere and the changes of environment with lighting made it so unique to like what your eye is looking at.
For sure. Awesome. And your last one, number 10.
I have at Confusion Escapes, Treehouse.
That's such a fun, whimsical room. We love that one too. Good. I'm glad that I've done a lot of the ones that are on there. Did I tell you about that one, Chris?
I'm pretty sure. You were sharing because you said this would be a good campy one.
Yeah. And their bathroom, even the restroom there is all kind of fairy lights and it was themed out. It was fun. And we had a great game master. She worked at Breakout and there, and she was a lot of fun. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for giving me your top 10.
Of course. Yeah, and it's probably going to change soon.
Yeah, I'm sure. Ever evolving.
Add new ones. Yep. That is true. It's hard to pick. I don't know if I could pick. I don't have quite as many rooms, but you'd constantly be changing, I think.
It's still
Service of Slight, still my number one.
Yeah.
As it should be.
And so you're at 318, right, Shad?
No, I'm actually at 297, I believe.
Oh, because those add the haunts, doesn't it?
The haunts definitely changes your score, yeah.
So you're a fan of the haunts, too?
Definitely. Nice. I love horror. I'm a horror fan.
Okay, fair enough.
Tell me about some of the escape room companies you've worked for.
Alrighty. So my first job in the escape room industry was the Unlockables. And before it was all under one branch as the Unlockables, it was also called Subscape Games. So we had like different LLCs with each of the companies. And then now it's all under the branch as the Unlockables in different locations throughout San Diego. And I personally met the owner, I think the third time I visited. And I just asked, hey, do you need more staff? Like, I've never been a game master. I would definitely like to keep my odds open and try something different. And he said, for sure. And I didn't get any message back for like months. And I just felt so defeated. And then I called randomly and I was like, I'm going to try again. And then I got the job instantly and he felt bad.
Wow. That's
so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and oh, your application.
What was your favorite game there at Unlock?
The Escape at the Kearney Mesa location.
Okay. Okay.
We love a good kidnap.
A good kidnap. The only one we did was Sister Secret, and it was crazy. For such a small room, too, there was so much going on. Yeah, we enjoyed that.
It's like a bunch of puzzles just thrown in and themed.
Yeah.
It's insane what they did with that space.
So describe the role of a game master. What would you say is the role of a game master?
I think it's definitely evolved over switching from this company to now working at the Escape Ventures because it's really hard to defy if you're being a character or are you being a game master. And I feel Escape Ventures combines a little bit of both because yes, you are a game master, you're providing experience, but you're also staying within a character and you have to respond as the character. You don't want a sound of the cliche game master, oh, check under this, check under that. No, you want to stay in character and provide a little bit more lore to the story, which kind of adds to a differentiation. It's, are you a character or are you a character within game mastering? So it's cool how it's evolving and changing.
Well, especially at the Port Charlotte location, because the game master is an in-room character.
It's insane. I never thought I would see myself as an actor in a room.
Right.
I've done briefing where I led people in a room as an actor and then right to game master and never return again.
Yeah.
But being a game master and a character essentially in the game, adding to the story, just heightens the experience for guests and heightens for me too. It just makes it more fun for the job.
Yeah. Oh, I get that.
And it's definitely challenging because you want to personalize it for each group, make it their own thing. Have you found some challenges that come with that or how do you do it? Like, how do you make it work for each group?
So what makes it so cool is that I personally will make sure when they're filling out waivers, if they don't fill out beforehand, I like to make sure I understand each person's name and get to know them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it adds to the story, especially for Phantom Files. That is our paranormal investigation. It's like Ghostbusters meets Haunted Mansion. We add to it by even remembering their name and writing a hint of the person who's doing that puzzle. And they're like, oh, they know my name. And it just heightens it up and they're just more aware of, oh, they're actually listening. They're knowing who we are.
Do you ask them how many rooms they've done and gear how you game master based on that? Like if they're brand new or if they've done 100 rooms?
Always. That's my most important question besides asking what their last name is for the reservation. And then that's my first question. Have we done escape rooms? How many have we done? And my favorite answer is we've done so many. We've done 3.
Mm. Yeah, right.
We're experts now. We've got 3 down.
And then it's you want to talk about your adventures too as a game master. And you're like, I've done you, but times 100.
Right. When Tina and I go and we're asked that question, we hate saying how many we've done. Just because we feel like there's going to be this expectation that we're good and we're not. Tina's definitely better than me. Like puzzles, okay. Chris and Carrie are really good. They're both really good at puzzles. Give me a task. Yeah. I'm down with any task. You want me to throw a ball? I'll do that. But yeah, so we're hesitant to go, oh, we've done this many because we don't want you to think we're good. Because we are still going to ask for help. We'll still ask for nudges and
same here.
Yeah.
With enthusiasts, not experts.
Exactly. We're enthusiastic about it. That's all. So, Shad, can you share one of the most memorable experiences you've had with a group in an escape room?
Yeah, this was a group I had back in California, and it was actually for Sister Secret.
Okay.
I had a 7-person group. They were all deaf and could not speak. And they originally wanted to play The Escape, which relies on communication and visual communication. So they wouldn't be able to, of course, communicate back to each other. So I recommended Sister Secret, which was our hardest game. And they were a little worried at first. But what made it so memorable was that I was watching their body language and flow with the puzzles. And while they were playing the game, I would type out hints within the story as the character. And I would color code everything so that they would get a better visual cue for that. And I would notice their time. And if every time they wanted a hint, I told them to like do this with their hands. And they would do that. And I would slide the paper underneath the door. And their reaction was always, so they're already ready for us. And it was really, yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. And they had a blast, obviously, right?
They had so much fun. Their reactions just made my day. And
yeah.
They were just so happy. It was so cool and unique.
That is cool. I love that. What a great story.
It would be hard to do. It's hard to communicate. So how do you give those hints out and stuff? It'd be so difficult to try and work that in with a group that is completely deaf and not talking. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of rooms. If you're separated, you wouldn't be able to do because it's verbal. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And the body language is a thing. Sometimes you can look and you can see people they're slamming down the puzzles a little bit harder. They're getting frustrated or they're getting upset. Mm-hmm. Kurt and I, when we get upset, we just sit on the floor and throw a fit.
A little therapy session moment.
At a particular game in Orlando, in fact.
We did. Thank goodness for our significant others, because they were the only ones that got us through that game. It's true. Were both just throwing a fit.
Oh my Y'all get goodness. Put in the corner.
Yeah. We put ourselves in the corner, that's for sure. We were just done. Chris and I come from the summer camp industry, and he's a camp director, executive director. I'm no longer in the summer camp industry, but years ago I went to a conference and went to this workshop by the director of a deaf camp. And they would talk about how during meals, the kids, if they wanted more juice or whatever, they would bang their cups on the table. You would think any normal kid, you'd be like, that's rude. Yeah. But apparently, and I had no idea, that a huge percentage of kids who are deaf come from families of parents who both are hearing, and they will not learn sign language. Like these parents, huge percentage of them don't learn sign language. So that's the only way these kids can communicate, is by banging stuff. And it was like heartbreaking. It's so sad. And then one of the funny stories they told is they're at this camp, and there's this tree line and this huge field. And one time they came out of the dining hall after lunch, and at the tree line, they saw a bear, and it was just looking at them. And the kids are thinking, Yogi Bear. And so they start running towards the bear. You can't just be like, stop. So a counselor had to run faster than the kids towards the bear, pass all the kids, turn around and stop them. And it's like, don't go any further back. You can't go over to the bear. It's not going to be good. So it's, yeah, very, very different world.
Crazy.
So dealing with some of these frustrations and these situations where people get upset like that, how do you manage that? Is there a way you found, like, if they're stuck on a particular puzzle or anything like that, or Kurt and I were throwing a fit and sitting in the corner? how do you manage that?
Good question. What I do personally is I try to give like a positive reward to them, basically stating what they're doing correct in that moment, and then provide the nudge so that they're back on track. So you're acknowledging what they're doing is on the right path, but critiquing them in a way where it's like positive criticism and helping them move forward. And then they forget about the frustration and they acknowledge the, oh, type moment in that case.
Yeah.
Do you have families that come through quite a bit?
In Port Charlotte, definitely. I would say a lot more families, yes.
I have stopped bringing one of my children to escape rooms because we are the same person. We act exactly the same and we both get very annoyed at each other in escape rooms. So we're like, you don't get to come with me anymore. We have to go to separate rooms. But
you get that way with her just in the car.
And anywhere. We are the same person and I annoy myself apparently. But yeah. It's so funny because even game mastering here, like I'm in the room with a lot of people and we're just at a camp and the amount of people that fight or yell at their kids or things like that. I'm like, you see me here, right? You know, I'm here. It's just so funny.
Yeah. Sometimes I think teams forget that there are cameras and that you're watching.
I'm in the room with them. I'm standing right there.
And you're like, what do I do in this case?
Right.
Stop yelling at your kids. So do you make any changes when you run games for like enthusiasts or as Kurt would say, non-enthusiasts or non-experts versus new players? Like do you see it different if you got somebody that's done a gazillion games versus three?
Yeah, we can actually, with the games I work in Port Charlotte, we can critique the difficulty level if needed. Mm-hmm. So our goal is to make sure that every group does escape. So even though the escape rate could be lower for our harder difficulty rooms, we try our very best to ensure a full story and a full game through. And we can critique adding more puzzles for enthusiasts and taking back some if we need to for beginners.
You can do that on the fly with those games?
We have a lot of different ways. Yeah.
Really?
Definitely changed over the years too. I feel like the original escape rooms were all about people not getting out. That was the goal, was you didn't escape because
exactly
it was hard and you can prove how good your room was because it was hard to escape. But yeah, it's definitely changed. I like it much better. I like the success.
Yeah, well, if we see a game that they boast, oh, there's a 20% escape rate or less, we won't even bother. We skip right by that game. We'll find another place. Because we want to see the whole game. We want to experience the whole thing. We don't want to be...
We're not coming back.
No, usually not. And we're certainly not going to pay for it again. Chad, what brought you to Florida? Why'd you leave? Are you originally from here or from Florida?
I was born in Fort Myers, Florida. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're coming home.
Yeah, essentially for finishing my degree, my bachelor's currently. I'm at FGCU.
Okay.
Nice. Going to school for anything escape roomy?
Unfortunately, no. It is a communications degree, so I have
a good
route with comms, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it currently. I'm trying to see maybe go public relations route, but I would definitely love to. Of course, own an escape room in the future, but it's not practical with the market right now.
Fair enough.
In your opinion, what do you think makes a good game master?
Someone who's paying attention.
Yeah.
Or just...
It doesn't take much for that. Like, please pay attention.
Although, go ahead, Chad.
There's just many experiences I've had where it's a good room, but the game master made the experience not so memorable and not as fun. And it's a disappointment to see that.
Yeah. I think also that the more games a game master actually plays, the better they become. Because they experience what a bad game master might be or what a great game master, how much they can help you and how like a nudge is different than telling a player what to do, like how to solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an art. It's a bit of an art.
Well, that was the room we threw a fit in. The game master was not there because we broke something later on in the room and Tina went out looking for them. Like so many times we're like, hey, hello, nothing. So she actually left the room to go find them. They weren't even paying attention to us. We broke something, but it's awful.
Yeah. So Shad, we talked about the in-game acting and you felt like, oh yeah, this is something I didn't think I would enjoy. If you had your choice, would you rather run rooms and do the kind of the have a character in the game? Or would you rather just be like, no, I just want to be a game master?
I prefer the character aspect. Yeah. I prefer the acting. It adds to a more personable experience with your guests. You get to know them. As characters, we have a lot of ad lib and improv we have to do. And just based on the flow, every group is going to be different. So we have to critique what we say, but it just makes it more fulfilling for yourself and more fulfilling for the guests to be more immersed in their environment.
You don't feel like the pressure is on. I got to improv here and there. You're able to do that?
Honestly, after having the REA blog people come, I felt a lot more confident. They came recently and I was a little worried, but they were such a fun group and I had a great time with them.
Nice. Have you worked for a company where you had to game master two games at the same time?
I've done three games at one time before.
Really?
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm.
And how'd you feel about that? Because, I mean, you were just talking about, I want my game master to be paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that with three games?
I felt like I had ADHD in that moment, to be honest. It's speakers all going at different audio pitches and just chiming in. And it was hard at first, but usually it would be just running two games. That would be the max. But sometimes there was a case where I had to run three. And it's hard when you have to go over rules, get people in, reset, get another group in. And luckily, when I had the second person with me, it just made things flow better. But it's just, again, body language. You can tell when people are getting frustrated. You can tell when people are going to need a nudge, when they are about to ask for a hint. So I feel like I've definitely learned a lot about studying people's reactions and the way they flow through a game, and it helps me keep them on track.
Yeah, I feel like if running two games is one thing when you're in the booth and you're watching both these, but you're right. Like, you have to leave and take them out of the room, take the group picture, if they have questions, that kind of thing. And if you're the only one there and there's another game going on, you're not watching it at all because you're dealing with this group outside of the game master area. I just don't understand how that works.
No? It was with my previous company and I loved working for them. And it's just hard because, like you're saying, you are stepping out of the room. You don't know what the other groups are doing. They could be breaking a prop or they could be stuck. They're asking for a hint and you have no idea. And it's frustrating because we want to make sure that we're paying attention to our groups, but we also have to ensure the closing with the group that we got in first. And we have to reset the room. We have to do this. And we're running all over the place like a chicken without its head, just running all over the place. Yeah, like making sure everything's flowing together. It's hard. It's definitely hard.
I think a lot of customers don't quite realize how game mastering is not, you're not just sitting back there playing on your phone. You're paying attention, you're opening, and even just resetting a room is a pain in the butt, in my opinion. Oh, where's this lock go? Where do they put it? Where do they place it? Things like that. It's just, it's crazy. But sometimes every now and then you get a group that will tip you. Have you had that any time that you've had any group tips or anything like that?
I've gotten the most tips at the location I currently work at, and it shocked me because I've never experienced getting as many tips before. Usually I would get a handful at my old job, but I've been getting a lot more here, and it's very nice. Pays for my gas.
Everyone is tipping nowadays. We just went to a fast food restaurant and we ordered from a kiosk, like the touchscreen kiosk. And at the end it asked if we wanted to leave a tip. And I'm like, for who? The computer? Like, this is ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. It was so funny. But
right. Yeah, I think the tipping at a place where you're a character, an in-room actor, that makes a little more sense that people are going to do that. How do you feel about tips? Do you think it's a little out of control, or are you like, game masters should get tipped?
Honestly, it depends on the group. If you are complaining about the price already, I wouldn't expect you to tip because you're worrying about spending too much money already for the experience beforehand. Sometimes I try to refuse a tip because I feel too bad of taking people's money because I'm like, you've already paid a lot for this experience and you want to pay more for me. But I, of course, I'll accept tips, and it makes me feel acknowledged a lot more. It's like, honestly, better than a review sometimes. It's, wow, I feel like I did a good job if they're tipping me.
Have you ever tipped as a player?
I tipped for the Lost Games, the Dr. Playtime Asylum. We had this, she was a brand new game master. It was her first game she ever ran.
Wow.
And our hint system is through a doll we have to carry.
Nice.
And she kept this voice and was super creepy in the way she gave hints. And it was so immersive. And I gave her a tip and she was like, this is my first game I've ever ran. And she almost started crying. She was like, thank you. Uh-huh. And it just made it so, it was so nice. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. So from your perspective, what makes a good escape room owner since you've worked for a few owners, what makes a good escape room owner from a game master's perspective?
Being blunt, straight to the point, and actually caring about your crew. I think what makes it really nice is if they provide food for you.
Huh?
Because there's times where you can't leave the building. And if they can provide you food, of course, you need to take a break. But sometimes there's those points in time where there is no break time. So you have to eat while you're running a game. So it makes it a little more challenging. But if they provide food, refreshments, and are checking up on you, that's important.
Tina used to, she loved getting Pizza Hut pizza and bringing it in for everybody. And so everybody was always excited. Oh, Tina's here. We may get pizza today. people love their food and snacks.
You had that amazing pizza joint right next door, like just right down the area from you guys. And she got Pizza Hut.
I know which one. Yes. I know which one you're talking about because they do have good pizza. I can't remember the name either. But they don't give you points every time you buy a pizza.
That's true. Well, you could have worked something out.
I'm sure.
Shad, you got any goals to own your own room one day?
I've been considering in the long run if I ever own an escape room company. And I always think of the difference between an immersive experience and actual escape rooms. And I feel owning something like Meow Wolf or Escape It, those type of flows, they're different type. It's more of an adventure than an escape room because they kind of push you. I feel like owning those would be more rewarding in the way where you're creating like a huge franchise of a company and you're creating like these stellar sets. And yes, it's not really an escape room, but I feel like it'd just be easier. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's say you did have your own escape room business. What would you do different than you think others do? Whether it be for like the games, for the customers, or for the staff?
For the staff, I would definitely want to do better rates. It's hard being a game master, especially if you're on call. And the hours, it's very hard to allocate specific hours to specific people. Those who are closer have to go on call, and it's unfortunate because they could be waiting all day and there's no bookings and they're honestly not getting the pay they deserve. So if I was an owner, I would definitely try to ensure actual times of staying in the business and then giving them better wages than other escape rooms nearby, just so that it's more competitive in the market and like showing your dedication into paying employees better wages, of course. And for guests, I would probably want to, similar what Escape Revolution does, is provide refreshments and other stuff for the guests, like free on the house, just adds a next level of caring to when they walk through the door. And actor games, I would probably want to have actors in my games. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the ones on your top 10 list have actors. So you're definitely into the whole immersive thing. Tina is quite the introvert. And so she's, oh, there's acting. Do I have to talk to them? do I have to do improv? And so she shies away from those if she can. But like I say, we both love like Weeping Witch. And I think that's because she didn't have to actually talk to the actor. And that helps. And even with, is it Click and Glitch?
Click and Glitch Arcade Palace.
Yeah. So even that, you don't have to engage. And so I was like, all right, that's fine for her. So it can be done in different ways. This is awesome. But I'm right. I'll go to your escape room, Shad.
Whenever you have just it. For the snacks.
That's right.
Just for the snacks.
Hi, sir. Would you like to do a room? Nope. Just here for the snacks.
Just here for the snacks.
Just want my hot Cheetos.
Done them all. That's right. I love it. What's your favorite part of being a game master? What do you like the most?
Seeing the reactions of people when the room keeps going and they just, their faces like brighten up and they're in shock. It makes it so much more enjoyable to see them all giddy and excited.
They think it's over and then all of a sudden there's an extra room. Is that what you mean?
More as in they're flowing very fast and they keep going to a room, to another room. And they're like, how many rooms is it in here? Does it keep going? And they're just in shock. It's so cool.
Yeah. That's cool. So I'm going to say you're not a fan of one room escape games.
It depends. I've actually had some great experiences with one room games if they're themed correctly and the flow with the puzzles is not a lot. It can be well done.
I agree. So what would you say are some challenges that you have faced as a game master that people might not expect besides running three games at a time?
What's definitely challenging is there are some groups who, of course, don't like the actor element, and I understand. So I will do my whole spiel and then have them play the room as is. But there's a point in time when I'm noticing groups are not on track of where they need to be. So what I tell groups is I will slightly guide you in the right direction, aka nudge, but we don't excessively nudge, because as someone who's played almost 300 rooms now, I don't want to be like told go here, go here, go here, go here. I'd be like, okay, can I just fill the room out? And I understand that, but if you're taking 50 minutes on a puzzle and I give you a hint or a slight nudge and then you're basically telling me to shut up, it's okay. You just don't want to acknowledge what I'm trying to do is help you and reward you, and you just cancel it out. So it can be frustrating.
Do you find those are usually the groups that are brand new to this?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Newbies.
Yep. Yep. But a lot of times they'll come in and they'll say, we want your hardest room. I'm like, oh Lord, here we go. Or we want zero hints and nudges. Don't give us any hints or nudges. And those are the groups that almost always need the hints and nudges.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. But it is what it is. I had one lady who came in, and it was the first time she had done it. And she came in with her, I think it was like her mother and her daughter. And they weren't totally into the whole game, but she was. So she came in, they had never done a game before. And I said, listen, unlimited clues. If you need them, just ask. She tried the first puzzle and then she's like, what do I do here? And so I nudged her and she goes, okay. She does a puzzle. She goes, okay, now what do I do? And it went that way the whole time. Okay, now what? And I'm like, you just go ahead and look around the room, try to figure out what you need. Yeah, and just tell me what I need to do now. And that was like, okay. And so I guided her throughout the whole game. And then when she got out, she was like, that was so much fun. I thought for sure she'd be like, yeah, this isn't my thing. But she was like, that was so much fun. I'm like, good. Glad you had a good time. Whatever works for you. This is your game. If that's how you want to play it, that's how we'll play it.
The hand-holding type game. Yep.
Yeah. It was a lot of hand-holding. That was crazy.
Do you see any skills or observations you think like escape room people need, the masters need? Hey, this is an essential skill that you have to succeed.
Yeah. All the game masters currently at our location are all the ones I've trained. So it's really fun. Each person's different. I'm a very common patient individual, and I love when people ask me questions. I don't want them just to stand there and be like, okay. Like, I want you to ask, and especially for the characters we have for our games, I always ask the new potential client as a game master, what are you uncomfortable doing? What makes you comfortable? What do you think you would like to do for this character? What would you like to do for this? And I like to ask them questions back too and make them basically set their own character in a way too, where it's like, yes, we have preset things we have to tell groups, but all of our characters are essentially different in a way. Because we have this character named Frankie, and my Frankie in Phantom Files is Southern. So I have a Southern accent. And then our other game master, Devin, one of my close friends now, he has like a New York Brooklyn type accent. So adds to the experience. It's different.
What do you look for when someone applies to be like, okay, you're ready to be an actor? What would you look for when hiring for that? That'd be crazy.
So we have applications currently active on Indeed. And what my bosses, CJ and Derek, do is they actually are looking for people who have like somewhat experience in acting of some sorts, especially like the theater world. Okay. There's a lot of game masters who are in that industry of theater itself. And we also have people do auditions. So we give them a portion of the script and they act it out. And we get to see how they basically vocalize and of course their body language of how what they're doing. And if the people are more timid and laid back and not really responding the way we think they could, we're like questioning like, could they potentially do this? Or are they too shy to broadcast that out?
Yeah, I feel like in Orlando, you got Disney there. It might be a little easier than to find somebody with acting experience in Port Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And because you, Shad, you seem reserved as well. Like you're on the quieter side. How did you feel about doing an audition?
So I didn't get to have to do an audition just because I had experience as a game master.
Ah,
so I kind of got the shoe in. I know.
Nice.
Say I'm a hypocrite. But I have acted in our other rooms before, the ones I worked at previously, and I had characters. And I also was a scare actor for 2 years. And I do get loud as an actor. I will go full send, completely different type of person.
I like that.
All right. If you could plan a trip to do any, like you got 5 days, whatever, what rooms would you do or where would you go to do some escape rooms?
I would get on the plane, go right to Europe and just go from there. Molly's Game, Down the Hatch. Want to play that one? The Amsterdam, there's the catacombs. There's so many games just in Spain and Athens. I would just probably travel all throughout Europe.
I could see it. I see you going, flying to Netherlands. Then you would just take the train to Spain and then the train to Greece. And you would be hitting all the horror games.
100%. Yep. I'd probably take a rental car because I would like to see the sights too.
That's fair. All right, Shad, let's go. I'll go with you.
Let's do it.
Yeah. He's not very good. I wouldn't take him.
That's true. You're going to be carrying the team there, Shad.
All right, my back's going to get heavy. Here we go.
So I mentioned earlier that you're very active in the enthusiast Facebook groups. So if somebody wants to connect with you, is that kind of the best way?
Yeah, I'm very active on Facebook. Like you were saying, I always try to give recommendations to people as much as I can and stay active on there. I get a lot of random strangers just DMing me on Facebook Messenger, just be like, hey, what rooms? And I'll be like, I don't even know who this person is, but sure, I'll just give you recommendations. But I would say definitely Facebook is where I'm more active on for helping people with escape room related content.
And you're not like, because I feel like the same questions are always asked in those groups and you just want to be like, use the search function. You know, people ask about Orlando every week. And then also, we can find you on Morty, follow you on there. That's always fun. When I meet somebody and I'm like, oh, are they on Morty? And I'll see which games they liked and didn't like and see how it compares to the ones I like and didn't like. So it's always fun to do. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was awesome talking with you. And I'm sorry that I missed you when Tina and I went down to Port Charlotte to do those rooms, but we're excited about, as soon as the third room is open, we're going to be heading down there. We're a good 6 hours away, so it's not that easy. But
you guys are pretty far.
Yeah.
Is it down? Port Charlotte's down?
Since we're in the panhandle. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot where you're at.
I was so mad at my bosses. I was telling them, when he comes in, when Kurt and Tina come in, I want to host them. And they didn't tell me. They're like, oh, yeah, they were here when you were gone. I was like, come on, CJ and Derek, come on.
Ridiculous.
They are going to help us. We're going to start an escape room business here in Destin. And CJ and Derek are going to consult for us and help us build that. So we're excited. I love their rooms. They're so much fun, all of them. Yeah. So I think you picked a good company to work at.
I got two of the best bosses. They're so funny. They're just so fun to work around.
Yeah. They're great guys for sure. Anything you wanted to add?
I would always like to talk about Morty.
For sure.
So with Morty, it's so hard to grade rooms based off a heart, a thumbs up, and a dislike. And I think you have a formula for it. So I wanted to ask you, what was your formula for grading rooms?
Oh, me? For our rooms? Because we were on this RV trip for 8 months, it was, everybody wants that kind of that side thumb, right? But it's not, it's thumbs up, but it's definitely not a thumbs down room. And so personally, what I do is I'll hit the love. If I absolutely love it, then I'll hit the love. And then, of course, the like, if we liked it. I give no rating if it's a meh. And I put this on my little, I guess, the little bio page. But if it's a meh, I just don't rate it at all. And then if it's thumbs down, of course, I give a thumbs down. But I like to look at not only the game, but the game master, the company itself, like the lobby, even from the parking, the whole experience, I kind of grade. And usually it's the room holds the most weight, the game itself and the game flow and everything else. But I don't know, maybe I overthink it. But I just know that I've gone to games or I've gone to places where people will, there might be some ratings and nobody leaves like a written review. And I'm like, yeah, but just give me one written review, right? And maybe I'll play a game and that has some red and yellow and then go, really? That didn't deserve, yeah. Like, how did it
deserve
get that?
The orange.
Right? Or that the thumbs down. I play some games that have blue in it and I'm like, that was an awesome game. Mm-hmm. I just want a little bit more feedback. And I'll see people will leave. Sometimes you'll see a review and this game was great. It was awesome. But the game master wasn't around. And so they give a thumbs down. And I'm like, I appreciate them leaving the review because now I could go, well, I know it's a good game. So I'm going to go ahead and play it anyways. And hopefully I don't get that game master. That doesn't deserve a thumbs down just because the game master is bad, but the game's great. I would like, if it's great, give it a heart and then put in your review. But we had some issues with game master.
It's hard giving negative feedback for rooms, especially as an owner. There's a differentiation where you can't basically blast a company down because you're an owner yourself.
Yeah.
So there's like a level of like filter, I would say. And for me personally, as a game master, since I'm representing a company, I don't think I could rate a room bad, but I could provide like the SHIT sandwich, you know?
Right, that's true.
Or it's like the good, the bad, the ugly, what was also good. So I personally don't like to give a harsh review. I'll just say what I like and then what I dislike. So I don't actually use the thumbs down feature that much on Morty. I'll just give a review without a rating.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I do.
That's fair. I every once in a while, like I'll see an owner and I'll go on there, Morty, and I'll see, did they give thumbs down reviews? Mm-hmm. Or not reviews, but just maybe a thumbs down. Usually it doesn't come with a review. And a lot of owners do. And I mean, I want to let people know, if it's a really bad game and it's a bad experience and all, I'm going to give it a thumbs down because I want people to know, hey, look, don't spend your money here.
Exactly.
Yeah. But no, I get it. And I think once we own ours, I may go through and edit some things as far as my reviews.
A good thing to do that. It's good to tell groups ahead of time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Although so many newbies, they don't, they're not on Morty. This enthusiast, yeah. They're looking at Google and the worst places are still getting 5-star reviews because a lot of times new groups are just like, this is completely new. They don't have anything to base it on.
Or they give 5 stars because they get an extra hint if they give 5-star reviews or whatever.
Or that's 10% true. We have played places like that. That's true. But I will. If I have a good game master, I'll definitely put their name in a Google review. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, nice. So-and-so is awesome. Yeah. And we've tipped before. So especially if it's an acting kind of thing.
Yeah.
Shad, thanks for being here. It's always fun talking escape rooms and,
it's just nice meeting you, Chris.
Thanks, exciting.
You too.
Yes, Kurt. You too. Yeah. Next time I'm down in Florida, we'll have to come check out your rooms and 100%. Have you game master for us. We'll let your owners know when I'm there.
Okay? We'll make sure our calendars are parallel.
That's right. clear the schedule. So awesome. Shad, thanks for being here. And closing off, this is Kurt and Chris. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Mystery Soup Escape Room podcast. Until next time, may your clues be clear and your escapes be triumphant. Keep puzzling, my friends.
See ya.
Mystery Soup. Mystery Soup.